everyone, and welcome to the Captain's Table, the show where I try a new terrible intro every week. Today I am joined by my friend Alex. We've been friends for what?
Yeah.
16?
At least more than half our lives.
Yeah.
about as long as we've been combined. Yeah, like a 30-year-old man, something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, yeah. He moved down the street from me when we were
That was one of the first people I met was Captain Otis here when we moved in the neighborhood in upstate New York. And then we've kind of been in each other's orbits ever since.
Yeah, give or take a few years in college where we didn't really hang out too much because you were in another... You were technically in another country.
Right? Yeah, I was just doing the foreign education bit, which was super fun. And then I went abroad and was in the other half of these fine United States and then was in Florida. But now I'm back here in sunny old frozen upstate New York.
Ah, frozen.
Yeah.
More frozen than usual the last couple days.
Yeah, no, it's been chilly. We just had the coldest day of the year. Which was fun, because none of the ice melted, and it just slid around on everything.
Yeah, my window is cracked on my car, and they're supposed to come replace it, and they couldn't, because it was snowing, and then it was too cold.
Too cold. Glass doesn't work right now. It's too cold.
It was too cold to have mechanics outside working on my car.
Yeah, doing anything that involves the use of digits that they don't want to get frostbitten. Okay. But, yeah, it's chilly.
But Alex has gone to 4 years of medical school, correct?
That's right. That was when I was abroad. I was an international medical student in Granada at St. George's University. And then, so now I'm technically a doctor. No residency program, though, so I'm not licensed as a doctor or nothing like that.
But you've gone to enough school that you are
I can put the fancy little M and the D after my name. I just can't do anything with them. Had to go back to
residency as U.S. students.
Yeah. So that's kind of where I'm at right now. But things are working out. Now I'm gone back to school because you can never have enough higher education. And that's why I was in Florida at FIU doing a program in nurse practitioner. So now I am also licensed as a nurse practitioner in the state of New York. So,
exciting stuff.
Yeah, it's fun.
Well, now that your actual license has come through in New York.
Yeah.
Because, like, it took, what, like a year for that to
about
get...
About 6 months.
Bureaucracy, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's... The NPM of it was pretty quick, actually, but the RN... I applied before we moved back in June, and it took through November was over by the time I got my RN license in hand. The NP was a lot faster after that, but New York State is apparently notorious, the second slowest state in the country to get your RN license in. So,
which is weird, considering New York State really needs nurses.
A lot of states really need nurses. There's only a couple places in the country, like Miami, that are absolutely glutted with them because they have a bunch of schools. So,
yeah. As
a new nurse, I also could not find a job in Miami, so it was great.
Yeah. I mean, even now, like, your wife's the one who found a job.
Well, it's kind of like, well, we moved back to the area because she found her dream job that was her passion and everything that kind of came together for her.
You be quiet.
So that's how we ended up back here. And that, actually, Otis has probably known Lexi just about as long as I have. I mean, you went to different elementary schools.
I've known her probably, about as long as you have.
Yeah, because it was in ninth grade, because we had that funny combined...
Because I didn't really know her... I knew of her, but I didn't really know her until I started dating, so...
Yeah, I mean, you weren't, like...
She was in the same orbit. Yeah, the orbit of our friend group.
She was a nerd, you were a nerd, but on different sides of the nerd tracks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, we were the Magic the Gathering nerds.
And she was the Latin nerds. That's what she still does.
So she was the smart kind of nerd, and I was the I like to play nerdy games kind of nerd.
And I was the divide, the bridge between them, and a happy union. That makes it sound like I'm hooking you up with your wife.
Yeah, it does.
Let's not do that.
Let's scratch that.
Yeah. Now, one of the first things that we ever talked about was, and that made us close bosom chums, was Dragon Ball Z. And all the fun stuff they used to have on Toonami.
Yeah, no, yeah. Me and your brothers.
Yeah,
you, like,
yeah.
Really the bonded pack over D&D.
Yeah.
And hitting each other in the backyard with
foam
swords.
That was back... And I know Second Ed was out. I think that might have been before
3.0 was early 2000s, so 3.0, 3.5 was our middle school and high school years.
Yeah, I know 3.5 I was playing at the end of high school.
Yeah, that's what we were playing. I remember playing it...
I played that with Chris a couple times.
Yeah, well, Chris started us all off in First Edition.
Well,
I
played First Edition.
Which is why I have that Advanced Dungeons & Dragons book over there, because I needed it to play D&D with my friends.
To figure out what he was talking about.
The hell is Thaco?
I know. To hit Armor Class Zero, what kind of...
What armor
system
class
is
Zero? Why is armor better the lower the number gets?
Because that's how numbers work, right?
Yeah, I think Matt's character had a negative, like, 3 AC,
yeah.
And he was untouchable.
Yeah, and you could really fudge the numbers in early D&D, or just the, what was it, the original was you get 3d6 and you roll them, and that's the stats you get in order.
Well, like, it's, in first edition D&D, like, it really gets into, like, Chris had to modify a lot of stuff, because he wanted to kind of do what we do now with D&D, but he was using the first edition rules, so... He had to turn a game that was made to be a character grinder into a long-running story game.
Yeah. Well, I think the rules were really there just as a means to, you know, facilitate combat and facilitate all that. The RP was something that was expected to develop by the players.
The big player grinder dungeons were designed to be exactly that. Like, they were supposed to be, like, you're going to roll up a bunch of characters and we're going to do this whole dungeon tonight.
Yeah, and that's... I mean, that was before the age of campaign settings, and you have, like, novels published about, you know, the Swords Coast and all these different adventures and the lore that you can have. Back when it was just, you know, guys who were sitting around a table trying to fight off owlbears or whatever.
Yeah. Alex and I are actually sitting at the table we're going to play D&D at in about an hour when everyone shows up.
Pathfinder.
Well, Pathfinder 2.
Yeah.
A game system I'm starting to think I want to switch back to Pathfinder 1, honestly.
Yeah, it's got some funny things to
it. I like it, but it's also... I just know 3.5 Pathfinder so well. Like,
yeah.
It would take a lot less time for me to plan a session if I didn't have to learn a bunch of new rules or to pull the monster up.
Yeah, I can't even speak to it as a GM, but as a player, it's got a lot of... Some things that are intuitive and some things that are straightforward, but then...
The crafting is
so
back-ass work.
That's why I decided to play an alchemist, because crafting makes perfect sense. So... But it's not terrible. You just have, like...
Say I'm so inexperienced that... Wouldn't probably not even phase her if we flipped to a normal Pathfinder, because it's basically the same level of complex and dumb that she doesn't know yet. A little more dumb and complex, because there's 15 years of bloat on it at this point.
I mean, there's a lot of bloat. I think the skills are honestly more complicated in Pathfinder 1. There's some
except for lore, which got way more complicated.
Yeah, I think a lot of the lore stuff, they're trying to make that more character-tailored, though, because all of those come out of backgrounds or whatever.
Yeah, but there's, like, for utility reasons, a lot of the lores are just, like, stuff that's never going to get asked by the DM. I'm never going to ask you for your lore.
For bartending lore?
Your lore, this specific region of history. Like, unless... There are things that if you during character creation that you have to talk to the dungeon master about, or like your characters. I mean, he's like Buzzle's burrowing creatures thing.
it makes perfect sense that you could just randomly talk to creatures that can dig through the ground and live in them.
That might actually come up. Like it's
well,
like I mean, honestly,
okay,
like. Well, no, I mean, like...
we've teased it enough. You know you're actually going to play it as a major plot hook at some point.
At some point, but I mean, even like, say, Earth Elementals. He'd be able to talk to Earth Elementals.
Yeah.
Might not be able to get through to them because they've got like a -3 intelligence modifier, but you might be able
literal
to communicate with them.
Clods of dirt that are, you know, sapient, kind of.
And when you fight the giant badger moles.
Earthbenders. Oh, dear. That's okay. He'll just try and make friends with them again.
Yeah.
That's his go-to technique.
You guys can't talk your way out of every fight.
It was just an enraged baby triceratops. He gave it an apple. It worked out fine.
Releasing it might not do well.
Right? This is fine. Also, I guess dinosaurs are running around now, so we've got to deal with that.
That's been going on since the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, we've had lizards. I think this was the first, like, full-on dinosaur.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's what it is.
But, that's tabletop role playing summed up in three minutes.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah, how about? Well, like, I don't know. Like, there's so much diversity in the different systems out there at this point. Like, Pathfinder and Pathfinder 2E are different beasts almost entirely. Like, similar enough that you can make the transition.
Yeah, and it wasn't too much for us to get up and rolling, because we were playing the playtest with our other group beforehand.
Yeah.
And they didn't change a whole lot from the last versions of the playtest to the final release.
Yeah, they're less than I was... A lot less than I was hoping. I was hoping there'd be a lot more class option stuff.
Yeah, there's not a lot you can do to get out of whatever class you get locked into. There's
Not just that. There's only, like... two or three options per level of abilities you could take, and I was really hoping that was just, like, keeping it simple for the playtest.
Yeah.
And I was kind of hoping that, you know, the first level at least would be, like, six or something, because there's so many different kinds of, like, characters you can be within a class, and they... You get very shoehorned into a specific role in this edition.
Yeah, I could see where it would be fun if you could open that up a bit, like, you know, at this level you could just take a class from any feat. Yeah, or take a general feat to access any class skill or something like that. But then you've got to be familiar with all
eight classes in the first book.
And that makes sense, but then you're stuck in... Well, I mean, it goes back to first ed D&D. What, you had, what, six classes?
No, you wanted to be a ranger? Sorry, you didn't roll high enough wisdom.
And you weren't the right race. Yeah. Like, it's very specific what you could do for each. And I like the Pathfinder 2E that they're doing. They got away from rolling for the skill, for the base statistics.
Yeah.
And that it's just built on how you develop your character, the background you get, the class you are, the race you get.
They do that in 5E too, I think.
I haven't played 5E yet.
But it's based on your race, your class, and your background. And I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a couple free you can throw
in. Yeah. Some malleability.
But yeah, it helps you build your background into your class.
Right.
Because each background has, like, two attributes you can choose from. Yeah. So.
And there's enough variety. I mean, there's enough backgrounds. There's, in the core, there was, what, like 28 of them or something.
Yeah,
like
there's a lot. And there's more of it added, too.
And those are easy to add.
Oh, they're easy to homebrew, too.
That, too. Like, I mean, we homebrewed a deity to have in ours, because we needed a god of the right alignment.
With the right weapon.
I know, right? Well, the weapon doesn't matter anymore.
The weapon doesn't matter anymore. Just our player dropped out who we made the god for.
Mine. But it's okay. She's all our god now. He's going to pervert her in deep and mystic ways.
Just change what it means to worship this deity. Yeah. But it should be... It's a fun setting.
Yeah, I'm excited for where it's going. I think it's got a lot of plot hooks and material. As a player, I am intrigued and on the edge of my seat. Even if we take the DM's suggestions and plans and go completely the other way with what we're going to do with them.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's just part and parcel of running a tabletop game.
Yeah, that's what it is. It is what it is.
Yeah.
We added a new player who immediately was unable to show up again because their car is dead.
Yeah, so that's just playing with people. Not playing like a Machiavellian scheme, it's just trying to get people at a table to do anything as adults with time constraints and, you know, jobs.
Yeah.
And all the fun life. Stuff. Yeah, life.
Ugh.
And all the trappings.
Well, it sounded like Madison said that Chris would be able to come, but she... apparently can't.
Yeah,
it's fine. We have a lot of players anyway.
Yeah, I mean, we got a party of five now. So five's good. Four is good. Four to six, it's a decent
range.
Honestly,
four is my preferred range, because it's... You can get a good challenge out of a couple, like a single monster with four people.
Mm-hmm.
But four is also enough that they're experienced players. They can overcome a lot of, like, really hard stuff.
Yeah.
We don't have the best skill range, though.
No, we need... That's why I was thinking of getting into some magic, because, you know, alchemists need to be able to also throw fireballs around. Because we don't have anybody with arcane stuff right now, but multi-classing in 2E is a little funky.
Yeah, you get some cantrips, basically.
And then you have to spend feats later on to get more stuff. But even the cantrips I like, because they're basically infinite spell slots for lower level.
Yeah, like you can get like, you can always range something.
Yeah, and there's enough variety in even the standard cantrips that you could do something with any of them.
Except for bards. Bards sad, are useless.
I'm really sad that Chris's game is kind of dead in the water.
Not
meant to be a pun. Just
pirates. Oh, with ghost pirates.
Yeah.
At that.
We only had two sessions and then life happened.
Yeah. Well, no, we had more than that. Because we had...
Sure, we got on the island.
We left the original port and then we were on the boat for like a session. And then we got to the island. We were did two, I think, on the island.
Yeah,
but then people,
yeah, life for, yeah. Then Matt and John suddenly were unavailable for forever, and now Chris.
Well, it was
is
the Christmas season, and
Chris
retail,
has a child he needs to care for.
Yeah, I know. I have two of those, and a third coming up in a couple weeks, well, months. So you know, kids, don't watch this, kids.
You don't.
Don't be on this website. Yeah. It's bad for you.
So, anyways, Ari and Gus, if you're watching, your father would rather play.
No, what are you doing? How did you get here? How did you find me? But no, you won't stumble across this until you're older, and then you'll have realized.
You'll understand what a joke.
Whatever
is
going on. Yeah, right. That's going to be a fun conversation to have if you haven't realized it by now.
Oh, what? This is called sarcasm.
Oh, no. Ari's starting to get that. She's going to be 4 in 2 weeks, and she's starting to understand sarcasm, and it is the worst.
Uh-oh. That sounds dangerous.
Yeah. I came off one point. I was teaching her what dibs were, and now she started claiming dibs for things.
Uh-oh.
So it's going to be fun the next couple years.
I mean, you can't break the dibs protocol.
No. So that's... We're going to see where that goes, and it's not going to be a happy place.
Dibs is a sacred trust.
Yeah. And now she has that power. She can wield it.
Like, she's just doing something like she shouldn't be doing. It's like, but Lexi, she called dibs.
She called dibs. Why is she driving? Well, she called shotgun. Who am I to stifle this child in the ways of our world?
Yeah. Want her to trust us, right?
To accept what social rules are put in place. We wouldn't disturb that sacred pact.
The sacred pact of dibs.
But
and the no take backs accord.
Of course, yeah.
The dibs protocol and the no take backs accord.
Oh, yes. Indeed.
Oh my goodness. They're cute kids though.
Yeah, they're lots of fun. I mean, that's everybody says that about their own kids. But I think it's always true.
And someone who's been around while they're being running around and being obnoxious, like, they are cute.
Yeah, they don't. That doesn't turn off, though, so it gets old.
Oh, I imagine.
Yeah, especially when it's a rough morning and you're trying to get everybody in the cars.
Kate and I got
places
to leave that night.
Yeah, right? Then you just get to pack up and go home. It's fun being an uncle, I'm sure. I wouldn't know.
Yeah.
I'll never know.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
You'll never know. You have 3 other siblings.
I do. This is dependent on them, A, finding significant others, marrying those, and then producing offspring.
Seems like Nick's got an okay shot.
Nick has...
Well, maybe not of offspring, but of securing a mate.
Yeah, he's got that, I wouldn't say in the bag yet, but he's farther ahead. He's the leading... He's the front runner.
And Kate's young enough that I wouldn't be worried about
it. She's only 8 years younger than us.
Yeah, that's... 24.
Dun.
I was talking about this with Ariel last night. I remember why it came up. I couldn't get my show. I was gonna have you on my show, and I just brought up like how weird it was at your wedding, like running into Kate as an adult, and I'm like, no, you are this tall, and you throw cats at me.
I know.
You are not an adult.
You're not a big person.
Oh, that's why it came up. I was talking about how Kate got me over my fear of cats through immersion therapy.
Yeah, right? I have a cat. You can wear it. It'll be fine.
Drop Wolfie on me.
I know. He was such a chill cat, though. You can drop him on most people.
He was so, like, chill, like,
yeah.
Because he was raised around you guys.
So it's like, I've handled worse. It's fine.
He liked
him. Well, he was just easygoing. You could pick him up. You could throw him around. He wouldn't care too much. Come at him with a wet cloth, though, and he'd go ballistic.
Yeah.
He did not like getting damp.
I don't blame him.
Yeah.
I don't enjoy people coming at me with wet cloths, too. I enjoy an occasional hot towel at the barber shop. But...
A nice moist towelette, maybe.
If I've been eating wings.
I don't know. If you're taking a cat to a barber shop, there might be other issues going on there.
Not that he couldn't have used it.
Well, yeah, he was a fuzzy beast.
He could have used a trim.
Yeah.
Both your cats were...
Yeah, no, his brother Leo, too. But he's been gone for a while now.
Yeah, no, you had... It was Wolfie, Leo, and Mozart back then.
Yeah, Mozart was our little black dog. He was...
Very energetic.
A foot and a half tall, maybe. And he could eat more chocolate than I think I ever have been able to.
Yeah, you like that whole, like, dogs are poisoned by chocolate. Mozart could eat his weight in chocolate.
Yeah, and he did.
Walk it off.
Yeah.
Well, no, walk it off.
He'd get sick and have a tummy ache and be like, oh, you poor puppy, why
are
you
sick? But the same way you would get a tummy ache and weight your body with
Yeah, so I know some dogs can't handle it. Don't go feeding your dogs chocolate. Too?
I know some dogs that like carrots.
Yeah.
I think Duffy does, my parents don't.
I've met Duffy a few times. She's a cutie.
My sister's dog, Bella, the pit bull, does not like carrots, but if Duffy is eating a carrot, she will want one too.
Given to peer pressure.
Now, she only wants stuff that Duffy has because she's a bully, and she's like, no, it's my toy.
It's mine. It's my carrot. I don't want to eat this. Why am I eating this? Munch, munch, munch.
Miss the days when we would just hit each other with foam swords in your backyard. And like...
Yeah, my mom actually just got rid of those. She found them... just like 2 years ago in the basement and threw them all out.
They're really easy to make. Like, it's just like PVC pipe, a foam noodle, and like duct tape
and
like a giant sock.
Yeah, like, one of them old like soccer or rugby socks that's long. You slip it over the thing.
They made like a thicker one.
So that was Ben's project, actually. Yeah. He made like a broadsword that was double thick, so you had like the foam noodle in the middle and then cut another one in half and put it on the ends.
Was it Nick who made the Kusarigawa? Because that was really unsafe.
That was me.
That was really unsafe.
That was a bad idea.
I think everyone got hurt at that at least once.
I also made the big shield out of cardboard.
That was
which
awesome.
It was neat. Didn't really work all that well, but it was like a tower shield that you could tote around.
Oh, yeah. We played with those when we were way too old to be playing with those in the backyard.
But then again, that's people LARPing.
People do amp garden stuff, like, whatever. I'll never forget the time that Ben and I locked swords and he headbutted me to get out of it.
Yeah, that's
and
Ben.
And I was like, you took it too far,
Yeah. And then I pulled those out once with some friends at college, one of them who was actually like in the fencing club, and he just walked all over me.
I don't know
what I'm doing. I was, swords. Yeah.
Those were great times, though. You had the perfect big flat backyard for stuff like that.
Yeah, no, that was a pain in the butt to mow, but, you know, fun for running around and
being generally. Your mom never got a rider, did she?
She still doesn't. No.
I could not imagine doing my backyard without a rider. Because that hill, like, pushing up that thing would kill you.
Yeah, no, we've got... we just got a house, too, out in the Syracuse area. We've got a pretty decent hill on the front of it. So we've got to figure out what we're going to do...
Come summer.
Or
spring,
Once there's snow on the ground.
It's New York State in 2020. It will go right from winter to summer.
Yeah, that's true. There'll be very little
day
ground.
And a half of spring, and then it'll
be
summer.
This is spring, it's so nice.
Then it's 90.
And then it's 90 and humid, and we don't have central air. So...
Oh, you better figure that one out. Window units?
We have a big window unit that we've lugged around for years now. So
an actual house, you're probably going to want at least one on both ends, I would imagine.
Yeah, so, I mean, we'll see what it's like. It's not as hot there
also,
as it is in Rochester.
Practically Floridians at this point, so you probably
be
able to handle it.
We didn't
better.
Have central AC in Miami, so we got through that. It wasn't great.
I am an upstate New Yorker in my heart and my blood, and, like, so, like, I am just... It's over 75 degrees, and I fall over and like start sweating a pool around me.
Like, oh dear, what's happening to my body?
I go out and get my mail and a t-shirt when it's like 25 degrees outside
and sunny.
Yeah, it's like the sun's out. It's
warm. I went out in the garage the other day without shoes or shirt on just because I had to grab something. I was like, it's a bit chilly in here.
Yeah, it's a bit.
It's 4 degrees outside.
We were walking to school in high school.
Yeah,
like what the fuck were we thinking?
I know
there was a bus. We had people with cars who could have driven us. So we were just like, let's walk to school.
It was just over a mile.
In the winter, it was.
Yeah. Especially because that was also swimming season. Yeah. So the 1 year I did the swim team.
Oh, you were wet.
Yeah. Well, going there, it was at like 4 in the morning for morning practices.
So
that
I found
was cold.
I always like, so the walking thing, though, is we always got there, like, before the bus would have gotten us there, which is why I did.
Yeah,
because
we were...
Because of the long line of cars going in.
Yeah, like, we were on the end of the bus's route, too, so, like, it was faster for us to walk it, usually, than it would have been for us to ride the bus.
Wanted to get there a half hour early and play Magic in the hall.
Of course. Or just hang out and do what you do.
Make out with my girlfriend or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Make out with Otis's girlfriend.
Yeah. What? Sorry, guys, I gotta cut this short. I gotta go beat up Alex.
We have urgent matters to attend to. Fisticuffs.
Make out with my girlfriend early so I could get to the part where I was playing Magic.
I know, right? Why not just combine the two into some ultimate happiness? That doesn't work.
You know what I was thinking
about? You can't see your mom.
I was thinking about Elbert the other day. Like,
Elbert Z?
I was wondering what he was up to.
I have no idea. I haven't been in touch with
him. I was just thinking about, like, the people we knew in high school, and I was like... And I was thinking about Magic, and I was thinking about his one of his stupid decks he made, and I was just like, I wonder what Albert's up to.
I don't know.
Albert was a foreign kid.
Well, the Z's were, I mean, the parents were, they lived locally.
Oh, no, I mean, that's, like, he, because I think, I always took it to see he was one of those kids who adopted an American name when they moved here.
No, that was his given name. The Z was their family name, but mm-hmm. he was a first generation American.
Yeah.
But
he spoke with that. I always, like, he kind of had a bit of an accent. I always figured that was because his parents, he learned from someone who didn't speak English like that. I don't know.
No, that's just the way he talked.
Oh, is it Albert?
Yeah, like his brother.
Albert, if you're watching this,
more,
I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, and the sister is pretty normal.
Yeah.
I haven't met her, though. I met the brother. I forget his name.
Him and Dan Sai. Who I will never forget.
Dan Sai. Yeah, there was one year I had lunch that was just me and him, and we just, like, lay down in the hallway and read a book, and he'd just wander over and do Dan Sai things in my vicinity. Like, I just want to read.
Just trying to read a book. Mr. Toriano.
Mr. Henson. If ever there was a
high plans school. For global domination. Sure. Wasn't that too much we did in high school? There was the games club in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And that was always... I don't know. Like, I slouched into the vice president's position because nobody else wanted it.
Right.
And then Jimmy got the president's position and did nothing. And so yeah. I was basically the person in charge of the games club.
Yeah, I mean, I was a frequent flyer at the games club, but I didn't come every week. And we mostly played Magic that year. I don't think we did too much else than that.
It was before I had joined the D&D group. Because I remember the entire D&D, like, Matt, John, Chris, and James, and Dave all skipped going to the corn maze to play D&D, and the only people that showed up were me and Mel.
Oh.
And that was awkward.
A little bit. Yeah, no,
because
I mostly
not because I disliked
game...
Mel, just because it seemed like it seemed like I had tricked her into a date instead of like what it'd be like expecting a bunch
a
of other people to show
date
up.
Plan. And I was like, no, my friends just don't care. This is the other end of things.
Yeah, like, well, this is the other kind of sad.
No, don't cry on my shoulder. That's gonna be even more mixed messages.
My friends are just lame and didn't show up.
Lame or more awesome? Corn maze, D&D.
This was the age before like everyone had a cell phone too,
yeah,
so it wasn't
too,
like they,
so he had no idea.
Yeah, it wasn't like they could text me.
There was no age before cell phones. They've always existed.
I had a track phone in high school.
I didn't get a flip phone until college because I was demanded of getting one by my now wife.
I had like one of those invincible like Nokia like block brick phones.
Yeah. I got a brick phone when I was in medical school.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, when I went to college, instead of giving us room phones, they gave us all like cell phones that had like a walkie-talkie feature on them.
Yeah.
So if you had someone's number, you could just be like push like a button and like it would just come out of the side of their phone. Like
ta-da!
Looking back at it, I'm like, why would they design anything with this feature? Can you imagine if like I could just hit a button and like your phone would suddenly go, "Hey, Alex, where are you at?"
Yeah. Hey, you. Yeah. The push to talk. That was a feature they were pushing for a while, but. I wonder why it didn't go off, because people don't like walkie-talkies.
Yeah, people don't want to walk around college campus with a walkie-talkie. They want a phone.
Yeah.
You smell strawberries and vanilla?
I
don't taste raspberries, strawberry, or chocolate.
I just taste grapes.
Apparently it pairs well with barbecue and pasta.
Some of them are
This is just a random red wine that Alex grabbed.
Random in every sense of the word. It's a red blend.
So it's even more random than your random red lines.
I mean, it's not bad.
Yeah.
It's just, I'm trying to paste, place any of the things it says it's supposed to have. But yeah, we've been doing this D&D game since what? Middle of the summer?
Yeah, this one started... Yeah, it was just after we moved, I got involved, and that was like your second or third session or something like that. And that was July, so yeah, summer.
It's just like, it's so... There's too much stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's so much bad stuff, too. Like,
and you can't filter through it all.
And
like, I had so many...
He just likes to try weird shit.
Mm-hmm.
But like, at the same time, like, as a DM, like, one thing you kind of learn eventually is that, yes, everyone should do what they want to do with their character, but if a player is specifically underpowering themselves,
mm-hmm.
step in and do something, because they're going to have a worse time at the table if they don't feel like they're contributing.
Yeah.
And I worry about that.
Mm.
And, like, when I talk about it, like, sometimes it sounds like I'm talking, like, power gamer stuff, but mm-hmm. like, I'm just meaning, like, no, I'm worried you're not going to have fun.
Yeah. Yeah, and balance between the players, because if you can never hit anything, you just feel like you're just sitting there mm-hmm. not doing anything.
Or if when you do hit, you're dealing a single damage die with no bonuses.
Yeah.
Like, we're dealing that in my friends in Roxy's game. Like, we've mm-hmm. got a Kitsune, like, rogue who just throws kunai, and it's like, well...
Oh, you're never going to get sneak attack.
You're never going to... Well, you can, like, but, like...
But there's all these caveats.
If you're not getting sneak attack, you're never going to deal more than that 1d4, and you're always going to feel underpowered in combat.
Mm-hmm. And sneak attack, to get at range, you need a build specifically for that. Which... I don't know about 5e, but...
The character's built for espionage. That's part mm-hmm. of the problem, too. This is a pirate game, and they're built for espionage.
Not piracy. Stealing intellectual property.
No. Arr.
That kind of property.
Piracy.
That kind of piracy.
Mischief, gold, and piracy. Just what you gotta do as a DM. So you gotta help people build their characters sometimes and be like,
yeah,
I advise this.
I recommend not doing that. But, yeah, it's... character creation's always a lot of fun.
I want to be a rogue who uses a broadsword. Reconsider.
Have you considered anything else? A light weapon, perhaps?
Melee wizard?
Those exist.
Yes, but there's classes to be that.
There, it's called a druid.
I was like, I'm going to be a melee wizard. Can I recommend just playing a magus?
I know.
Which is a melee wizard.
Which is specifically, that's like all they are. They don't exist any more than two.
They will. Eventually.
No.
Or what do they call it in this edition? Dedication?
Yeah.
Like a prestige class or a dedication.
Yeah, well, dedication. Well, they don't have prestige classes yet.
There are a couple, actually.
Oh.
That's right. They're dedications.
They
work the same way as dedications. They mm-hmm. just have their own special abilities. You know?
Yeah.
There's a pirate one or something. Or there was in the...
That's in the added content. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah.
But there was like a grave...
Not that we got past level 4 to begin with, but you know.
Yeah, I mean, Chris dropped that one because... We were not playing the horror game he wanted us to play. We were treating it like we were playing normal D&D.
I wasn't picking up too many of the horror elements yet.
I know, but like it was something about like, I think it was the way we were interacting with the elements that were supposed to be like, ooh, spooky.
Yeah.
And I'm saying that's very reductive, like, because they were good, like,
I mean,
weird,
yeah, one was exploding ghost pirates, like, all of those elements.
Well,
especially
the one before that, the vampire game. Are you in that one?
You had your
mage guy, yeah.
Yeah,
This one just...
Yeah, where we were from the glade.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that one, I mean, it had a lot of neat elements to it, it just didn't really take off.
Yeah, well, I think it was, he wanted to play up more of the horror.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to play up...
Well, we were also just coming off Matt's campaign,
yeah.
which had, like, the real visceral, dream-wrenching horror.
Aeons.
Yeah.
Strange Aeons.
And we were in, like, part three of that.
Lovecraftian one, yeah.
Yeah, and that had a lot of just, like, trippy dream realities horror.
Yeah,
and
this one is going very more traditional gothic
yeah.
horror.
So I think us transitioning from that was the big problem.
It's really hard, and I admit this is a problem, and this is a problem I have too, like, going in, and I've had this in both ends, as a player and as a DM. it's really hard to convince players that you have to think about the world the way your character does. Mm-hmm. Your character thinks vampires are invincible.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You, the player, might know they can be hurt by things. Yeah. And it might be different than the things you think they can be hurt by, because it's my homebrew setting.
You just gotta keep trying stuff, but players!
But your character thinks they can't be killed.
Right, because that's the lore and that's the established belief system.
But it's hard to get past that as a player sometimes. Mm-hmm. So you, outside of the game, are formulating plans and stuff, but your character can't be formulating these plans because they don't have that information. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, that's not even their belief structure.
It's harder to do that with something established like vampires, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, that's part of what I like about your current campaign, is Mind Flayers are the big bogeyman, but they're even far enough removed, they might not be the big bad right now.
Yeah.
And even then, Mind Flayers are not the established lore that vampires have. Like, a vampire...
Mind Flayers are very specifically, like, D&D Forgotten Realms lore.
Yeah, Ithalid,
yeah,
that is Wizards of the Coast property. But, Mind Flayers. The Stranger Things.
Beholders? Eyeball Sphere.
Eyeball Spheres. Yeah, Looker Watchers. Whatever. I don't know.
Eye Tyrant, I think is what the homebrew one was called.
Yeah, whatever they are. Oh, yeah. And anyway, they've got a specific belief, but they also come out of that Cthulhu, these tentacles and all that. So they're a little bit more vague, but even then, in your campaign, they might just be gone.
Yeah.
So we don't know what's going on as players. We don't know if there even is a big bad. You have this tantalizing hook about the secret super dungeon, mm-hmm. but even that might just be, one quest, or it could be a whole deep thing. We don't know yet. So I'm really liking the way it's
unfolding.
I'm really
leaving it open kind of for you guys to figure out what you want to do.
There's also that. I feel like you're kind of like, oh, I'll just pave the way a couple steps ahead of where I expect him to go, and then we'll just, we're going to make an airship instead.
Yeah.
we have the techniques for that.
Well, I led you by the nose for a couple of adventures, and I kind of want to back off of that.
Yeah. But that's just the world's building, and we're getting an idea of also what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And, the first couple sessions when you've got new players, especially when it's a group that doesn't know each other, I can see that railroading a bit more.
And you guys have been playing this game for months.
yeah. So I'm excited to get it back underfoot and see where things develop. But
mm-hmm.
Yay. Fight more dinosaurs. Yeah. Maybe get a mount.
The planning for this game has been kind of hard because, my schoolwork, which is, programming and the network admin, router setup stuff, mm-hmm. is so... It uses the same part of my brain that I would use for writing.
Oh.
And so, done, I don't really... Yeah, I don't mm-hmm. want to spend the rest of my day writing.
My brain energies. I want to go tap buttons and stare at a screen and collect monster bits.
I'm going to go fight and punch big lizards.
Yeah, I'll punch them. Stick them together to make bigger swords.
No, it's 6:00.
Yay.
Well, we'll wrap this up then.
All right. Well, it's been fun. Hopefully we'll try something a bit more organized sometime.
Yeah, no, this is a fun episode. We got about 40 minutes here, so good content.
Mm-hmm.
And I gotta go let someone in. So I'll record an outro in a minute.